please join me in a spirit of prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm going to ask you to hold this question in your mind throughout today's lesson, and that is, who will you listen to? Whose words do you deem to have authority and credibility? And who should just say a polite nod and then be ignored from going forward? I'm going to do something I've done on many July 4th weekends in the past, and that is give you a little bit of a history lesson at the sermon. I have an image in front of me. George Washington, kneeling, praying, the gallows forge. Now, the interesting thing about this image is that George Washington did not travel with press people and artists to depict his every movement. We don't know that anything like this ever took place. We know about this story because of the indefatigable Arsenides. And you hopefully remember who he was. He's the one who revealed us with the story about young George Washington, who could not tell a lie and confessed to his father that he had chopped down a cherry tree. That was a popular story, but it spread like wildfire. And Weems' biography of George Washington was one of the most read books of the 19th century. And that story has stuck with us down to the present. And you can find this image anywhere online. But what can we say about George Washington's faith, or that of the other founders? And more important, does it really matter? Now, George Washington was an Episcopalian. He was a vestryman at his local church. But I would not say that he was an Orthodox Christian. Interestingly, whenever the service reached the point of communion, Washington would leave. He had great respect for religion, but that didn't mean it was for him. George Washington appears to have been a deist, as were many of the founders. Now, I can't attest to your faith positions, but some of you might be deists. Who knows? But this primal urge to assign a certain kind of belief to historical figures is something that has been around for a long time. And the idea that our founders were all holy and religious people seems to speak to some kind of need to say that we're good people. I think the founders did a tremendous job starting this country. They gave us a constitutional government, but they made mistakes. We all know about the stain of slavery. That was something our founders left in the Constitution. James Madison and James Monroe were also Episcopalians of the deistic flavor. And they're a reminder that people who go to church can do good things and also can do terrible things. John Adams was not an Episcopalian. John Adams, as we all know, was descended from Puritans, and he went to the Congregational Church in Quincy, Massachusetts, which was a Unitarian church. John Adams believed that religion was important, and people needed it if they were to maintain their virtue and if the Republic was see, religion is a complicated issue. I will tell you this. The United States was not founded or established as a Christian nation. There is nothing in the Constitution that should lead us to believe that. However, we have, by and large, been a culturally Christian nation. And that's been changing in recent years. As people have fallen away from organized religion, as people have come from more parts of the world to live in the United States, and the fact that we are able to live side by side with our neighbors is a testament to the wisdom of the founders. Because right there in the Constitution, we have the right of every person to worship, spelled out in black and white. One of the things that George Washington did as a leader that is very admirable was write to the Hebrew congregation in Newport, Rhode Island, and let them know that he believed in their right to worship God as they saw fit. Thomas Jefferson was another interesting case. Thomas Jefferson has received a lot of bad press in recent years, much of it deserved. One of the things that Jefferson did was take a razor blade to his Bible, and he excised all of the parts of it that he found objectionable. All the miracles, gone. Now, Jefferson believed that any of us could discern what was true and what was not in the Bible. That was kind of arrogant of him. But he believed in freedom of conscience and freedom of religion. And so he was able to pull together a Bible that met his needs. My hope is that you will not be taking any razor blades to your Bibles, but you'll take notes, mark the parts you find challenging, difficult, and ask questions. This issue of our national identity and its relationship to religion, the question of our founders and what they believed and what it meant, they're interesting questions. But I don't think there's anything fundamental or existential going on there. We have the opportunity today to build the country we like to see. We have the opportunity today to work to bring the promise of the Declaration of Independence to all people in the United States. That's not on George Washington. That is not on James Madison. That is up to you and you and me. Now, there will be some people who will tell us that George Washington was a good and faithful man who would pray at every opportunity. We don't know. We don't know. But we should ask how our faith and our sense of identity is enhanced or diminished by stories like telling a lie because we think it's going to make us look better is never a good idea. And that's, in many ways, what this story of the holy and faithful George Washington was. But again, it did speak to a need of the public to believe in their leaders, to assume that they were the good people that the folks in the pews, in the voting booths, in the meeting houses, and in town squares across the country wanted to be. We see, down to the present day, our political leaders make sing about being church members, about reading the Bible, about praying. And I'm not saying that they don't. But that is not a qualification to be an office holder in our country. You all may remember that when Jimmy Carter was running for president, word came out in the press that he was born again. And some people thought, that's great. And other people thought, that's crazy. And others just shrugged their shoulders and said, so what? I think that we need to think about our own faith and whether what we're doing would be pleasing to God. We heard that Jesus was mocked. People in his own hometown who knew him said, who is this guy? He's the son of a carpenter. And they dismissed him. Out of hand. That sort of reminds me of Harry Truman, who was dismissed because he'd been a haberdasher. Disagree with me, but I think Truman was a pretty good president. God will speak to us through the people he can use. And it doesn't matter whether they meet our idea of what a king or a president or a congressperson or a member of the Senate should look like. We need to ask whether they are being thoughtful and faithful stewards of the offices they've been asked to fill. And Independence Day is an opportunity for us to think about these things, to give thanks to God for the blessings of liberty that we all enjoy, and to not take them for granted. Because we have the children of Israel to remember that nothing is forever. Nothing is forever. They had been brought out of slavery in Egypt, brought to the Holy Land. They were able to start their own society. They got a monarchy because they complained they wanted one. And after David, things kind of went downhill. People began to say, well, we're the chosen people. So everything's okay. But everything wasn't okay. I would ask people here to reread the passage from Mark and think about where you would be if you had been in the congregation. Would you have listened to Jesus? Or would you have followed the crowd and stopped at it? I'm not going to call anybody. But I will ask you to go through this exercise and do it faithfully. And resolve to better listen to Jesus in the future. Would you please join me in spirit? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for this day and for the gifts of Scripture. We thank you for all the men and women who serve you today and